It's a delight to be in your midst again.
Amen.
I always enjoy being at Lakeview Baptist Church and being in Arkansas. Took a while to get here today because if you're going west on I-40, they have it tore up both sides. They're working like everything. Takes you a while to get here. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for the kind words, the good singing. Open your Bibles to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 14. Now, I skipped lunch today, and that food was so inviting that I had more than I usually like to have before I'm preaching. So you'll have to bear with me. In Numbers, the 14th chapter, the 24th verse, we read these words. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and have followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. One of the most remarkable men in the Word of God, whose life has been recorded for us, is Caleb. Now the name Caleb, and by the way, names mean things. Pay close attention to names. There's not one idle word in the Bible. You're learning something from every word, because every word is inspired of God. That means the breath of God spoke it.
Yes.
It does not mean that God gave the men the general idea and allowed them to put it into their words. These are the words of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Caleb means wholehearted. Now, if you do a study on that name, you'll discover that it is derived from an unused Hebrew root or verb, because the root radicals in the Hebrew language are in the verb form. The noun form that is derived from that has been translated basket. But Caleb was not a basket. The word really means, when you derive it from the verb, it is firmly bound or cleaving together. Now, a basket certainly does that. But Caleb's being bound together or firmly bound was with the Lord.
Amen.
And his being or cleaving together was again with the Lord. Now, I have four different dictionaries that define Old Testament names. But you can't rely on something just because it's in a book. You better check it out with the Word of God.
Amen.
Or some of those did have his name meaning basket. And some people perhaps are basket cases.
Yes.
But Caleb was certainly not.
Right.
Now the Bible further says in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 36 of Caleb, Moses speaking of him in contrast with the 10 unfaithful spies. He said, the others will not enter into the land that I've given to your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Now, in saying that he wholly followed the Lord, Scripture affirms that his name really does mean wholehearted. And that characterized everything that he did. Caleb was a man of optimism. Now, I had my concept of optimism, and I thought that would be a good term. But you see, the world has its optimism, and its optimism is not the same as ours. Ours is because of faith. Ours is because of the Word of God. Because you can't have faith without the Word of God. Just because someone says, I believe something, that doesn't mean anything. If God hasn't said it, you don't have a basis for believing.
Right.
And when someone says, God said it, and I believe it, that settles it, that's not true. God said it, that's settled a long time ago. But I love Webster's 1828 definition of optimism. For he says, optimism means the opinion or doctrine that everything in nature is ordered for the best. That reminds me of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now there's a basis for optimism. Caleb was not only a man of optimism, he was a man of persistent optimism. I like words, Brother Raines, and so you find a word that will really describe the individual. Now, the modern Webster's Dictionary gives a very good definition of persistent here that fits what I'm talking about. It says that persistent means refusing to relent, especially in the face of opposition. That describes Caleb to the T, because he would not relent. Now the Lord said in verse 24 of Numbers 14, which I read to you, it is the Lord who said this, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit, he didn't have the pessimistic, unbelieving spirit of the 10 spies. He had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. By the way, that another spirit is the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And do not let anyone tell you that the Holy Spirit did not dwell and dwell with God's people in the Old Testament. He certainly did.
Yes.
And when, as she sang a moment ago from Psalm 51, beautiful song, David said, take not the Holy Spirit from me.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit accompanied the office of king, prophet, and priest. If he had been deposed as king, he would no longer have had the spirit of the king upon him. But as Saul, when David was anointed, you ever notice the spirit departed from Saul and came upon David. And that is the way the Holy Spirit worked and the offices in the Old Testament. That doesn't take away from the indwelling. It just simply says there is an additional work of the Spirit of God upon us as well as his work that is within us. But Caleb was persistent in what he believed. And the Lord rewarded him greatly, even unto his seed. Because the passage in verse 24 reaches forward into the future. And he was one whose optimism that was persistent resulted even in the seed, his children, that is, being blessed. By the way, compare that with Psalm 112, when the Bible speaks of the man there who keeps the Lord's commandments, who loves the Lord. And his seed shall be blessed and mighty upon the earth. So the fact that this is recorded about Caleb in the scripture, all that is recorded was written for our benefit. Romans 15:4 gives us a basis for seeing that. As a matter of fact, anybody that neglects the Old Testament is neglecting the foundation on which the New Testament is built. But he said in Romans 15:4, whatsoever things were written aforetime, the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through patience, we need that, do we not? That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope or expectation. Hope is not a wish. You might say here in Arkansas, as we do in Oklahoma, well, I hope it rains, but if you don't have a word from God, that's all you've got is a wish. But when you have a word from God, that's the basis of faith. And you ever notice how closely faith and hope are connected together?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope in the Bible is anticipation, expecting God to do what God has said.
Yes.
That's why we wait on it with patience.
Yes.
That's Romans chapter 8. But coming to Caleb now, I want you to see this. Every time Caleb speaks, he is full of optimism because of his faith in God's promises. So here in the book of Numbers, turn back to the 13th chapter, and I want you to observe with me, first of all, the optimism in his report from spying out the land of Canaan. Now, Numbers chapter 13, verse 6, he is identified as one of the 12 spies. Now, the reason Moses sent these spies is because the people came and requested. Moses should not have listened to them. You don't need to check out God. You don't have to spy out to see if he told you the truth. And this became a very great hindrance to the people. But Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, indicates that they suggested this to him. It was not his idea. Now, the Lord spake unto Moses, chapter 13, and told him to do it. But also, the Lord told Balaam to go down to see Balak after he told him not to go, didn't he? You know, when the Lord tells you no, and then you keep asking, you might get what you wish, and you're not going to enjoy what you get. You need to listen to him the first time. But he was one of the 10 of the 12 spies, and from the tribe of Judah. And he was a man who, with the other 11 spies, spied out the land of Canaan for 40 days. The reason they end up 40 years in the wilderness is the Lord sentenced them a year for every day that they searched out the land when they did not believe his report. They searched it out. When they came back, the spies gave their report. Now, in modern language, there would have been a majority report and a minority report. The majority report was from 10 spies. We have their report recorded here beginning at verse 27. And they told him and said, "We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Who would have ever guessed that it would have been exactly like God said? Isn't that wonderful that we have men who can tell us, you know, after all, God was right. God was right before you ever knew it, my friend. But this is the mindset of unbelieving men. You know, I marvel at how credulous men are to the words of men, and how that they are skeptical to the word of God.
Come on,
you got it backwards.
Yes,
you better question the words of men.
Right.
Okay. The simple believeth every word, the proverb says. But God cannot lie. When he says it, it is true. He is a God of verity and justice. And so you can count on that fact. So they gave their report, but they had a nevertheless. Now that is a several-lettered word that means but. And when people begin to but, they're acting more like Billy Ghost than they are sheep. And this is what they were saying. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, and that's not the name of the dog, that someone said in the case of Luke 16, moreover the dogs came in. That's not the name of the dog. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The children of Anak, well, they are giants, are they not? And so this is, and then they said, you think that's bad? The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Yeah, there have always been a lot of ites. Don't be afraid of the ites. It make any difference what denomination they are. Don't be afraid of the ites. And by the way, the denomination means name. And so I wasn't talking about religious groups. I was talking about whatever you denominate these ites. They're all quite the same. But Caleb interjected his report. He could not keep quiet.
Right.
He says, this isn't right. This is not true.
Amen.
Verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And that's a statement of optimism.
Yes.
Persistent in not relenting in the face that he's outnumbered here. Because now Joshua was on his side, but he's the only one speaking, and so they're outnumbered 10 to 2. Now I want you to know something. This spirit is the spirit that we all have. The Bible says this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Folks, we are more than overcomers through Christ, or conquerors, but that idea of the word is we're more than overcomers. We're more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. We're not on the losing side. We're on the winning side. It's already determined. This is where predestination is beautiful, is it not? By the way, all prophecy is predestination. One of these days, some people figure that out. It is all predestination. It will be exactly as God has said. Ever made a study of all the fulfilled prophecies of the Bible? The ones that have already been fulfilled? Or how do we know about the future ones? The God that fulfilled the promises in the past will fulfill every promise, just like he always has. But I want you to see, secondly, the optimism in Caleb's response to the hysteria of unbelieving Israel.
Amen.
Now, I will tell you something. Unbelieving people become hysteric.
Yes.
There's a hysteria that has come over America.
Yes.
It's come over America because we're an unbelieving country.
Yeah.
You would think that there has never been any kind of hot summers or dry summers in the history of mankind when you listen to these global warming alliances, man-made global warming.
Yeah.
One of these days, God says, you want the heat? I'm going to turn it up. You read the book of the Revelation. He's going to do it one of these days. My dad taught me to remember things. Pay attention to marks. So, I've been around a few years. I was raised on the farm. I remember starting in 1950, I could start telling you what kind of summer we had out of memory. It rained all summer. We didn't make very good crops. My dad farmed bottom land. He says, you can't make good crops in a wet year. I can make a better crop in a dry year than a wet year. We raised lots of watermelons. They don't like lots of rain. Didn't do any good. 1951 was a little hotter, a little drier, had a pretty good crop year. 1952 was outstanding. We got a 2-inch rain July the 10th of that year that made this watermelon crop as one of the best crops we ever had. I was 11 years old then. I remember that. 1953 was hot. 1954, it didn't rain. It was dry in Oklahoma. Then we made some, but not much. 55 was a beautiful, perfect, very seldom hit 100 degrees. It was lovely. 1956 came along, and I'll tell you, it was 110 nearly every day. And we watched the crops just wither. 1957 repeated 1950. It rained all year. Okay? Weather changes. Anybody that's been around, but we've got a generation that can't seem to figure it out that things do not stay the same year after year. And there are cycles. I'm simply saying that hysteria is driving this country anymore because we've departed from the Word of God and all of the promises of the Word of God. And let me tell you this. COVID-19 is not new. Get your Bible out and look at Deuteronomy 28:22 and you'll find it. Four characteristics are given there. It's called, first of all, consumption. Do you know what they used to call tuberculosis? Consumption. It's a lung disease. It also a high fever or a severe fever. Inflammation. Inflammation of the lungs is why they have to put them on the breather, the ventilators. But the one that caught my attention that caused me to make that connection was extreme burning, because when they were first talking about the symptoms, it was an extreme burning. Do you know who it comes from? It comes from God. It comes upon a wicked and disobedient people. The Lord told them, you can't have a nation that kills unborn babies by the millions not to be visited with God's judgment. You cannot have in any way.
Yes,
someone who takes marriage that God ordained between a man and a woman and puts it between two men or two women or anything else they come up with, you cannot have a society that approves. It's a slap in the face. Whenever someone says, well, I was born a man, but I wanted to be a woman. I should have been a woman. You can't have that without God's judgment.
Right,
by the way,
right.
I went to the city council of Choctaw and told them the same thing.
Amen.
It's time we stood up. And we tell what it is. Because our God is a God of justice and judgment. He's a loving and he's a gracious and a merciful and long-suffering God. But he's a God who does what he says he will do. That's why Caleb was optimistic. You thought I was chasing a rabbit, didn't you?
Yeah.
I almost did. But on purpose.
Yes.
But notice here in the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 9, we'll work through these verses and you'll see how the people responded. Now the 10 spies that gave that evil report, they worked up the people. Oh, how horrible. You know, just about every time you read about Israel in the wilderness, it's something. Oh, wish we were back down in Egypt. Wish we were back down in there. Why didn't we stay down there? And it wasn't too long ago, they were like, oh, wish we could go free out of Egypt. Oh, wish we could go. Does that sound like anybody anymore? All the congregation, verse 1 says in chapter 14, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. When things go, what people don't like, whom do they take it out on? They take it out on the leadership.
Yeah.
The leaders, it's easy to murmur. Why, everyone can do a better job than the quarterback is doing right now. Everyone can do a better job than the president is doing. Everyone can do a better job, right? This is what we understand. Oh, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, you hypocrites. You wanted out of there. Oh, would to God we had died in the wilderness. The Lord already kept them alive from some of those would to God we'd die. They thought they were going to starve to death till the Lord brought them some manna. Remember that? Yeah. They thought they were going to starve to death with no water in the wilderness. And then they really finally showed their colors in verse 3. They may murmur first against the individual, but the one they're really murmuring against is against God.
Right.
I'll tell you, we go to murmuring. Boys and girls, listen to that. Yeah. You're murmuring against your parents. You're murmuring against the Lord. He put your parents over you.
Right.
You want to be careful how you murmur against. The Lord puts leaders among us, does he not? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall to the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. You dummies, you don't realize your children will be okay. You're the ones that are going to have the problem. Verse 4, let us make us a captain and let us return to Egypt. That's what we'll do. We'll get new leadership and we'll go back to Egypt and beg for them to take us back. Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake, and no doubt, they were in harmony here in what they were saying, absolutely. Whether one of them was speaking, Caleb spoke on the other occasion, perhaps Joshua did at this time, but it doesn't matter because they were in agreement. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, that's the only thing we have to be concerned about. If the Lord delights in us, whom does the Lord delight in? Those who love him, who are wholehearted,
right.
Those who seek him with a whole heart, those who obey his word, these are the ones with whom he is much delighted. He will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us.
Yes.
Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Had not God already shown them that he was with them in some of the battles that they had had when they came out of the land? They won't hear it. When people don't want to hear something, they do as the ones that were stoning Stephen did. They stop their ears.
Yes.
That's a miracle today. We don't want to hear truth. We don't want to hear facts. We don't want to hear history as it is. We want to rewrite it to make it be what we want it to be. We want things to be the way we want them to be. And we're not going to listen to anybody else. Why, you know, so my response to that generation is, how in the world did mankind make it before y'all came on the scene?
Right.
How in the world? And that's what you need to do is make fun of them. Because they need to be made fun of. They can't handle it. And that exposes them. That exposes them. You'd think that they're the smartest people who've ever come upon the face of the earth, and they don't have sense enough to come in out of the rain.
Yes.
That was the way I heard people described it made silly decisions in days go by. He didn't have enough sense to come in out of the rain. I want to tell you something. Something is not true because men think it ought to be. It's true because God says it.
Yes, amen.
And if God didn't say it, you better check it out really close. That's why I said, just because you read something in the book, you may have a Christian writer, but you better check him out in the Bible. Because what determines whether it's truth or not is whether God said it.
Right.
Not because so-and-so said it that had a THD behind his name. See? Someone said that stands for a thud. But they complained against the Lord. And Joshua stands up and he tells them, don't you do that. Don't you do all of this. But they want to stone them. You see, the Lord had made a great difference between Joshua and Caleb and the other ten. Who makes the difference? Why are you saved? Why do you believe the Word of God? Why do you take His promise? It's because God made a difference in you. That's the cause of it. The Lord swore them that all the men who had seen the miracles in Egypt would never enter into the promised land. The only ones who would go in would be Caleb and Joshua.
That's right.
Notice here in chapter 14, reading, if you will, verses 24 and 38. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And then if you look down to verse 38, the Bible says, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were the men that went to search the land, lived still.
Yeah.
Everyone else died in the wilderness who was 20 years and older. But let me bring you thirdly and finally to the optimism that Caleb showed in his request for his inheritance as promised by the Lord. Turn to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. And we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 13. Now it is the Lord who made a promise to Caleb. Joshua knew that promise. Back in Deuteronomy 1:36, it was the Lord who said, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. There was the promise that the Lord relayed to Caleb by means of Moses. So they're in the promised land. They've conquered all of the main cities. The 12 tribes have their inheritances for the most part. And Caleb is given his land. Caleb comes to Joshua to request his inheritance as was promised. Look, if you will, at verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. I'm sure Joshua was glad to see Caleb.
Yes.
I can imagine. He says, old friend, how good to see you. I have so many good, fond memories. Listen, cherish friendships.
Amen.
Long friendships.
Amen.
You need friends.
Yes.
Okay. How do you have friends? You be a friend. That's the way you do it. He that would have friends must show himself friendly.
Yes.
The proverb teaches. But he says in verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. It's because he had a right heart.
Right.
Nevertheless, my brother that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God.
Amen.
It makes no difference what anybody else is doing.
Come on, brother.
Churches today, so-called, seem to want to go the way the world goes.
Yes.
They find out what the world believes, that's what they believe.
That's right.
They don't believe what they want to do. I saw something last night that blew my mind about churches and what they're doing compared to that I had once known I thought was faithful to the Lord. They joined the whole way of modern worship. You worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Not emotionally.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
It's But Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land upon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. Do you see how many times he stresses he wholly followed the Lord? Do you know why we have denominations? Here's what we do. This group believes this portion of the truth. Well, with that part. Then this group likes this part. And then this group likes this part. And then this group likes this part. Years ago in California, Brother Steve, when I was ABA, I talked to some of the preachers and showed what I was seeing in the Word of God. I still do that. Did that at the table tonight. Well, you're going to get in trouble if you preach that. You better not preach that because we don't believe that. I said, well, why else? The Bible teaches it. Well, we don't believe that. Well, where do you get your doctrine? Well, we get it from our denomination. We get ours from the Word of God. By the way, all 66 books are inspired. And all of it is true from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. It's the Word of God. We believe it. That's what we ought to believe. Now, I know what our doctrinal statements say. I'm going to check them out by the Word of God. Because if they're in harmony with the Word of God, they're certainly a good doctrinal statement. If you get all of a doctrinal statement that doesn't match the Word of God, I take the Word of God over your doctrinal statement in every case. And so this is what Joshua, or Caleb, excuse me, was doing all of this time. He said, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Notice how he said, as he said. He does what he says he will do. Right. Even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Have you changed, Caleb?
Nope.
Have you become a little bit more pessimistic as you're getting older?
Nope.
No. He's still very persistently optimistic. As yet I am as strong, verse 11 says, this day, as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain. I'm ready to go conquer it. Give me this mountain. Prayer of the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim was there. Now Anakim is plural.
Yes.
Several giants. He says, and that the cities were great and fenced, but he still believes the same thing he did in chapter 14, 45 years earlier. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him. I think when Joshua said, dear Caleb, he probably had a big smile on his face. I like to picture these things as they're happening. Dear friend, you're just as optimistic and persistent in what you believe as you were 45 years ago. You haven't changed. You are a dear child of God. And he gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this name, because that he wholly followed. Look at there.
Right.
That's stressed again, isn't it? When the Lord keeps saying something over and over, doesn't that give an indication he wants us to get it?
Yes.
Holy Father, the Lord God of Israel, and the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war.
Yeah.
Well, I want to tell you, the reason he had such optimism that he could take that mountain is because of the fact of what God had already done.
Yeah.
You remember when Samuel was really established as the prophet early in his days, the 7th chapter, he had Israel to build an Ebenezer. Remember what Ebenezer means? Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Folks, we need to kind of keep some Ebenezers in our own lives. Because new trials, new challenges are going to come. But if you're trusting the Lord, you're going to be persistently optimistic in regard to those things as well. So he gave him Hebron because he wholly followed the Lord. I want to tell you something, dear people. I've been in ministry 61 years. I'm not going to say I wholly followed the Lord as Caleb did. I let the Lord determine that. But the fact of the matter is, I've known this. God blesses those who follow him.
Yes.
And serves him. Peter You remember I asked a question over the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, and the 29th verse, I believe it is, or in verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all, and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me of the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold, and shall receive, inherit everlasting life.
Amen.
Some of that is now.
Yes.
Some of that is now.
Amen.
The Lord takes care of us now. Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Yes.
The future in this country could look, if you're wanting to be, and you're bent pessimistically, you can be a pessimist. You don't want to do that. Because it doesn't matter who's president. It does not matter which party's in control. Ultimately, now there'll be some differences on the surface, and there could be a lot of things that affect us. But ultimately, it is God who takes care of us. That's the point I'm wanting to make. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Now I need to bring this to a close. I want you to see Caleb's persistent optimism.
Amen.
Was confirmed by his actions. Come over to the book of Joshua chapter 14 verse 15. We're going to note what it said here. There were the Anakim in the city of Hebron. Now we go to the book of Judges, the first chapter. Come over a little farther into the word. Judges, the first chapter, verse 20. And here's what I want you to see. The Bible says, And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Three giants! Caleb, 85 years old, drove them out. Drove them out by the power of God. Now, the thing that you and I need to ask ourselves in applying this lesson to our lives is, do we have persistent optimism? Or do we live on a roller coaster? Up one day, down the next. Up one day, down the next. See? When we will trust the Lord and His Word and take Him at His Word, it doesn't matter how dark it may seem,
right.
How difficult the obstacles are in front of us, we know God's going to do what He said He would do. Now, here's one of our problems. We don't know what God said He's going to do.
Right.
Yeah. Does that suggest maybe we ought to spend more time in this book?
Amen.
This is where we ought to study. Study commentaries later. Study and read after me. I've got a big library. But I want to tell you, I'm going to check every one of them out by the Word of God.
Amen.
They are good in what they say only as they agree with the Word of God.
Right.
If they don't agree with the Word of God, and many of them don't, they've got an agenda. They've got a particular belief that they're pushing. And so they'll omit scriptures. If they'd have given us the whole counsel of God, then they'd have a more complete picture. But they probably learned it from someone else. I hope all of our learning doesn't come from seminary. I spent 6 years there. I hope it doesn't come from commentaries. I hope it comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. And no one can teach like the Holy Spirit teaches. But we can be very persistently optimistic in facing present difficulties. I don't know what you're facing tonight, but you're facing something. I don't know what anybody is. There's always some kind of problem. We try to name them sometimes. Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's children. Maybe it's health. You know all of those areas. We're tested in all of those areas. Didn't the Lord promise we would have tribulations in this world, by the way? In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, the future, I listen to the news, where you're listening to liars for the most part. You know when I turned off the national news? 1992. Bill Clinton was running for president. And the news media wanted him to win. They talked us into a recession. every night. I listened to Dan Blather, you remember him? And I listened to him, and every night he'd come on with a very short positive and then told the negatives. Why the negatives? To turn, and that's the way they do. And I was reading Psalm 101 at that time, thinking about what it said. And David said, "He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight." I said, "Lord, I'll turn them off. I'll invite those people into my room." That's one of the first things to do. Turn them off and get to the good news. You're not going to get the good news on TV. But you'll get the good news from the Word of God. And I want to tell you something. I don't care what's tomorrow. The Lord has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Paul was like Taylor. He was persistently optimistic. Come over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm about finished, but I want you to see these verses. Chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life."
Yeah.
That's pretty low. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised up the dead. We might die, but God raised us up, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, past, present," now get this, "in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us."
Amen.
"The future and the present will be as the past."
Amen.
"The Lord will do what he said he would do." Amen. The key for us here is to come back to know what Caleb's name means. Wholehearted. He fully followed the Lord. Now here's one of the things I've observed in 61 years in the ministry. There's people that sit under the preaching of the word, and they'll say, "Preacher, I'm going to go this far, but no further. It's not all I'm going to do. I'll do this, but I won't do that. I know that God says this, but I'm going to do this much, and he ought to be grateful for that." No, 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 no. You want to follow him with your whole heart.
Come on.
Follow him. Follow the Lord.
Amen.